your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Alchemy. Co-hosting with me today is Chad Bronstein, founder and CEO at Philo. And we're joined by a very special guest, honored to have Jim Belushi with us today. Welcome to the show, guys.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Awesome to have you. So, Jim, you know, I think for everybody tuning in, we all know you as an American actor, a comedian, a singer, a musician, you know, a man of many talents. And I think what some people might not know about you is your passion for growing cannabis, and especially, you know, at your farm, at Belushi Farm. So I think just to kick things off, you know, can you give us a little bit of background on the farm and, you know, why you decided to kind of join the movement in the cannabis world?
Sure, yeah. I used to come up here to visit a friend, his wife and children. His children were the same age as my children, and he invited us up here on the Rogue River in Southern Oregon on weekends, you know, so we came here a couple weekends a year, and then I went skinny dipping in the river, and I came out, and I was like, I got to find a place around here. And I found a place about 6 miles down the river. It's an old Elks picnic ground. And the Elks, you know, they never recruited younger people. They just got older and older and older, and they just started selling their assets. So I bought this picnic ground because it had a stage on it. And so I got 1,800 feet of riverfront in this beautiful hidden valley, they call it. And behind me is an 80-acre farm, and I became friendly with them, and they sold me their farm. So I thought, what am I going to grow? Hay, alfalfa? And what happened was cannabis became legal that year. And I knew a couple people. Danny Aykroyd introduced me to this guy named Captain Jack. Captain Jack was the weed dealer for SNL in the 70s.
Yep.
So
that's awesome.
I got Captain Jack here and another guy named Jeffrey Iverson, who's a geneticist from San Francisco. And he has his place in Bend, and he was growing some beautiful, beautiful sativa strains. All about terpenes. Got this lemon chiffon from him and Nella wafers, award-winning strain. Anyway, so I don't know. We just did a 48 plant grow. And then it just started, the plant just kind of started leading me that way. Now I have, you know, a 40,000 square foot outdoor greenhouse light depth grow. And right now I'm actually converting it to a greenhouse light depth interior grow, indoor grow, to 10,000 feet. So I'm in that process right now. I'm still up at the farm. So I don't know. You know, this is a spiritual plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell into this. And I fell into it at the time where everyone's saying, "Oh man, there's so much money in marijuana, man." And it was like, oh, you know, so I said, oh, okay, well, I'm going to get a head start on this. And then I ran into a veteran. I go to every dispensary and I take photographs and meet people, and there's big lines. And I was walking down the line one time, and there was this guy that looked a little off, long hair, skinny. And I try to shake everyone's hand as I go in, and I said, "Are you all right?" And he said, "You know, I was a medic in Iraq, and I saw things that happened to the human body that should never have happened. Nobody should ever witness what I saw." And he said, "I have, they tell me, you know, triple PTSD. And I got couple kids and a wife, and I can't talk to my kids, and I can't talk to my wife, and I can't sleep." And he said, "Your Black Diamond OG is the only strain that allows me to relax enough to talk to my family, and it's the only thing that'll let me sleep. And he teared up.
Wow.
And he hugged me, and I said, man, I didn't make this. And he goes, no, but you're the steward.
Right.
That was the paradigm shift for me. It was no longer a business. Every dispenser I went to, there were more and more vets there in wheelchairs. Women, one woman who had 200 bones in her body broken. She got off of opiates. And so I started going down this medicine path. And it's opened me up. I mean, it's just like a hatchet hit my chest and opened it up. And my heart just, it's just leading my heart. And it's not only leading my heart in community, but it's leading my own heart for my own kind of healing. Because I have my own PTSD that I suffer from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the context, you know. And it even goes down further down the line about my brother John, who we were talking earlier before the show about CTE.
Mm-hmm.
My brother John was middle linebacker, high school. He was the captain of the team. He had the most tackles in like the history of the school. He was the toughest son of a bitch at 5'7" you'd ever want to meet. And, you know, back then they said, oh, what's the matter, Belushi? Your bell rung? Yeah, we know what that is. That's concussion. Concussion after concussion after concussion my brother suffered. I watched him his senior year in the laundry room. I wanted to turn down the TV in the kitchen. I couldn't find him. I went in the laundry room, and there he was holding on to the cement sink. And he was shaking. And I was like, come on, John. Turn the TV down. And then he fell. Well, you know, he does a lot of falls in his comedy work. So right. I thought he was joking. And he didn't move. And I went, Mom? You know, we called the paramedics and the ambulance, and they pulled his tongue back. He seizured out. He had spinal taps. The x-rays, they couldn't find out what it was. So I really believe John suffered from CTE very early. And he was straight as an arrow. And as soon as he smoked a joint, I think he found his medicine. But back then, it was a drug. Now it's a medicine. And so I think he combed it all to find that relief. And if you read the descriptions of the behavior from CTE, John fit every one of them. So my journey is kind of coming around full circle to find medicine that can help people with opiate addictions, drug overdoses, CTE. I just think it just helps in so many ways.
Jim, I love those stories, honestly. I think that's like what, you know, Jeff's just jumped in the industry, but he's heard a lot of them, but I've been in it for some time now. And just those are the stories that really, you know, get you, you know, feel good about this industry. So Jim, you're serving all the state of Oregon. What are your plans for expansion and where do you want to expand to?
Well, first of all, I mean, sweet home Chicago is where I really want to be. I mean, I have, you know, Danny Aykroyd and my sister-in-law, Judy, John's widow, has given me the Blues Brothers IP. And I would like to have a Blues Brothers working man's brand in Chicago, Illinois. I want to drive the Bluesmobile with a smoking joint on top of it instead of a big PA system and pull up to every dispensary with Danny in tow, right? I think Chicago is a natural place for this brand, and it's my hometown, and, you know, I love Chicago. So I'm talking to people in Chicago, and I'm having a great conversation with Mitch over at Grassroots.
I know Mitch.
Yeah, well, you know what? I really like him. He straightened me out in Vegas on a couple of things really quickly and honestly, and I just love his directness, one. Two, he's smart as can be. But three is his context of this plant is where my heart lies. And it's not just a business to me. I mean, as an artist, I've always followed my passion. And money came after that. I never was driven by the money. I was always driven by the piece, you know, the music with the Blues Brothers or my band. The improvisation was so great in Second City in Chicago. According to Jim, I mean, all these things were passions that ended up, you know, making money. So I see Mitch's passion, and I align with it. And I like him, and I'm hoping we can work something out so we can get into Chicago.
Yeah. That would be amazing. So, Jim, being, you know, obviously a celebrity and having fame, of course, you know, when you look at this from your current business, is that, has that been an opportunity, you know, for you to break into new areas, or has it been more of a challenge to the business?
I don't know, man. There's challenges everywhere you turn. I mean, having John as a brother was a challenge too in this business. You know, the great thing about John being famous and me being an actor was I could get in any room to audition or have a meeting. But the problem was he had a preconceived notion because of John. So I had to work triple to get the part. You know what I mean? So there's a handicap to being famous, and there's, you know, it helps in some ways. It gets me endorsed. But on the other hand, people want to know that in this business, they want to know you're for real. You know, I mean, authenticity is that's it. Our market wants authenticity. Mm-hmm. I grow it. You know, I'm keeping this temperature of the soil at 64 degrees in order for the micronutrients to travel into the roots easier. I'm topping the plants. I know what I'm doing now, and everything I grow, I've touched and handled, and I love this. I'm not just like licensing my name to make money. I just believe in this medicine. So it helps to get indoors, but you still have to prove yourself. Does that make sense?
I think it makes 100% sense. I think you had to work hard, obviously, hearing that makes a lot of sense. In talking about challenges in general, what are some of the challenges I'm sure you were facing, which are a lot of them, in maintaining a farm? Because, you know, just from our experience, it's a tough, tough job. So what are some of the biggest challenges you face in maintaining your farm?
I'll give you the big three. Mold, aphids, russet mites. I'll give you four. Ground squirrels. I'm farming, man. This is bullshit. These bugs. I am Elmer Fudd out here with a .22 shooting these damn squirrels.
I do, because I farm too, but I farm vegetables.
Oh, all right. So you know what I'm talking about. I saw that movie, the Best Little Farm or whatever, and it was a documentary about these guys growing a farm, building a farm in California. And I was watching, they were having trouble with gophers, right? And I went, yeah, man, I dig that. And they built built owl houses. And I went, done. I just built three owl houses, put them up in the trees, waiting for the owls to come to help me with these ground squirrels. I am just over my mind about this. Aphid, what's that? What do you mean? There's an aphid there? Let me see.
How do you control the aphids? Because they go on the bottom side of the leaves, right?
Yeah, there's a problem. I mean, you know, first of all, we spray them. We have a regimen of spraying almost weekly of neem, which is, you know.
I hate the way that smells.
I know, but it's like it's organic. You know, the Indian.
I know. It's so weird.
Using it for hundreds of years.
Yeah. The neem oil.
Yeah, neem oil.
Yeah, I can't stand that stuff.
Yeah, but there's other things that we do. You know, I have tons of ladybugs. You know, we're planting a bunch of sunflowers around. We're growing stuff that bring in, you know, insects that help.
Yeah, ladybugs and praying mantises are good too. You could get the cocoons and they'll hatch like thousands per cocoon. And they just pick the aphids off.
You're, as you're talking, I am on Google looking for... where I
you can get it on, you can get it on Amazon. They send you the cocoons.
Oh my,
it's really
God.
Cool.
Done.
The problem with it, Jim, you got to be careful though, because if you have ladybugs and praying mantises, and I'm going to send you this video from my garden last year, the praying mantises start eating the ladybugs too.
Shit.
And I don't like that.
I don't like
poor ladybugs are trying to do their job.
I know, and they're so sweet and gentle.
They really are.
You know, you say hi to them, they lift their little wings a little bit. You know, they're really sweet.
They're really sweet.
We did burn a little sulfur to help, but the problem with the sulfur is that when you try to make oil out of any of the bee buds or the trim, the testing for oil is so much different in the higher concentrate. So the sulfur can really kill some of your trim. So even though it's organic and real and all that, it's farming, man. It's farming.
Yeah.
Those are my main challenges is that.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. My buddy's out in Yuma, Arizona right now, harvesting a huge, a lot of hemp. Just so many different challenges that come up every single day of harvest. It's crazy.
Oh, tiresome. Yeah. Well, it's fully engaging for me, you know. I just love the engagement of this farming and this plant.
So, Jim, what's your day to day in the farm?
Well, it's the problem with my day is it breaks up into many different areas. It's not only farming. In the morning, I go and we meet with the head grower. We talk about what we're going to do. Like today, this morning, we did the third layer of trellising on our indoor grow, and we're topping the plants to flatten it out a little bit and create more stems. That was today. But then there's also, I've done this television show on the farm about cannabis, growing cannabis. And yeah, we went to Colombia. We did seed hunting in Colombia. It's just this really beautiful show that we just finished.
Is that the show that was financed by Live Nation?
Yeah, I love Live Nation.
So cool. We were definitely going to ask you about that.
Well, so part of my day is now we're in a color and mixing stage. So they send me links and I watch them and I give notes. And there's a lot of stuff going on with that. But then there's this other thing that's been getting in the way called acting. My agent is pissed at me. It's like now because there's this kind of hiatus in the world, he's not on my ass so much.
Right.
But it's like, you know, I mean, he's so mad at me because he literally called me. I'm holding a Rhode Island Red rooster in my hand. And he calls me and he tells me about this great script and this great director, by the way. I like the director. This was in the summer. And he says to me, you know, this is good. I think this is a good script, man. I think these guys, they really like you for this part. And I went, great, 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 great. Send me a script. Let me read it. It's like, where does it shoot? And ironically, we're shooting in Rhode Island, right? I said, cool. Love Rhode Island. When's it shoot? And he goes, September, October. I can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? I said, what? It's harvest.
Harvest. You got to harvest the plants. That's more important.
He said, it's harvest, man. He goes, what do you mean? You can't push it? No, I can't push harvest, Eddie. No. He said, come on, man. What are you, a farmer or an actor? I don't recall ICM ever representing farmers. Oh man,
you're a farmer, man.
Oh, he was pissed.
I hear it in your voice.
Yeah, Jim, you are you definitely moved on in love with farming.
He's got the passion.
I gotta tell you, as an actor, I mean, you look at Daniel Day-Lewis, he studies his character for a year. He submerges 100% for a year before he shoots a film. And as an actor, I did a Woody Allen movie. I studied for 3 months, not a year. But I've been studying this for 4 years. And this is my character. I love this business. I love it. I love the people in it. I love the medicine in it. I just love the joy it brings. I have a strain I have a strain, a cherry pie strain, that I was at the harvest party, and the people at the party, I was on stage, who played the band, and I was talking about the different strains, and they said, "What's your favorite?" I said, "Well, I like cherry pie because it's only 19% THC, but it's got 3% terpenes in it, and it's got a baby amount of CBD. But that entourage effect for me just chills me perfectly. And then I...
Is that why you call it the marriage counselor?
Well, I'll tell you the story, because I'm coming down the stairs at night, and my wife says, "Are you hungry?" And I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Let's go out to eat." "Sure. Oh, where do you want to go? What do you want to get?" I said, "Well, I'd like a cheeseburger. I'm from Chicago. I'm a meat eater, right?" She goes, "Oh, that's a little heavy for me, honey." "Well, how about some sushi down there on Sawtelle? I like that little place." "Oh, I had sushi with my mom last night." "Anything else?" I said, "How about a vodka sante? It's all natural foods." "Oh, cilantro. They put cilantro in everything. I can't stand cilantro." And I'm like, "What the fuck are you wasting my goddamn time for, when you know damn well we're going to eat where you want to eat and go where you want to go? Quit fucking jerking me off." So now I come down, I go upstairs, I take a little hit of my cherry pie. I come downstairs and she says, "Where do you want to go to eat?" And I go, "Baby, we can go to Taco Bell as long as you're sitting across."
Love it.
I call it the marriage counselor. I told that story at the harvest party, right? And I got to tell you, I sold out of cherry pie in the state of Oregon in 2 months. Because women were coming into the stores going, "Where's that marriage counselor? He needs some." So that's one of the brands, you know.
So that's a great story on cherry pie. And it's funny because Jeff had that as another question he was going to ask you. So great that you brought that up. I love the way you just – the example you just gave, because I think I may need some cherry pie here and there.
Yep.
Yeah. But one thing, like, you know, when I was in Vegas with you and having dinner at MJ BizCon, what I really – you know, I grew up loving the Blues Brothers, right? And so you guys are building – you just mentioned this earlier in the podcast about launching the Blues Brothers in Chicago, and just maybe launching the brand as well. It's a nostalgic brand. I feel that, you know, what does it mean to you, that brand? Because obviously I know it means a lot to you, but at the same time, I'm excited about that brand. I think that, you know, the nostalgia for a lot of us, I think there'll be a lot of scale for that. So love to hear your plans on that.
Well, you know, listen, it truly is a brand. It's not just a pretty box with a name on it that they call a brand. I mean, it's a 40-year-old brand that represents music, mischievousness, and my favorite, a mission from God. I mean, if we were to redo the Blues Brothers now, we would be going to a children's hospital, and the Penguin would be there and would say to the Blues Brothers, "Look, you've got to legalize weed in this state in order for me to get these kids this medicine that they're having seizures with." And our mission from God would be to legalize marijuana through the state of whatever the state is. So there's a mission from God in it, which is the medicine for me. There's a mischievousness, which is the joy that you have when you, you know, when you experience marijuana. And the music, which runs through your body, the rhythms that bring a spiritual experience in itself. So it's a brand that represents those three items. Also represents my brother John for me, which is the whole CTE, you know, opiate addiction, overdose that I believe that this plant can deliver. And I don't know, it represents a lot. There's a lot of things going on with it.
If you could like fast forward a little bit and kind of look 5 years into the future and look back at yourself right now, like, what are some of the biggest aspirations that you hope to accomplish by then, especially with the farm?
Well, I'm hoping that the state lines will come down by then, because I think Oregon is the great state of cannabis. Northern California and Southern Oregon is right in the perfect parallel. It's the same parallel as Bordeaux and Burgundy, you know, Napa. And I think that business-wise for the state, you know, there'll be a lot of exporting. And so I think this is going to be the hotbed of the great cannabis. 5 years from now, I'm hoping to have Blues Brothers in an international capacity from Germany through Canada, Australia, Italy, Spain, United States, like 5 or 6 SKUs, you know, 0.7 pre-rolls, 0.25 pre-rolls, a little six pack, I call it. And I hope to have a great CBD line, CBD, you know, a 1-to-1 line that really heals people. So I've been experimenting in that area, but I haven't gone deep into it. I've gone deep into the study, but not into the business part of it. Because right now, CBD and hemp feels a little out of control for me. I mean, I've had 3 hemp farms come up right around me last year. 2 of them failed. They had no place to dry it. They just, it just was a debacle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 80 products out of 100 that are sold on the internet don't even have CBD in it or have like 14% CBD. So I think they're killing the trust of the consumer by, you know, racing to the market to make money. Again, it's about the money opposed to about the medicine. And there are companies that are involved in the medicine of it, and those are the ones I want to align with.
I agree.
So, I hate it because they're ruining it. Oh, I tried that CBD stuff. I didn't feel nothing. I said, well, what product did you try? Okay. Well, you know, you should try, you know, Charlotte's Web makes a very good one. You know, Select makes a very good one. Any seeds that come out of any oil that comes out of Oregon, you can trust a little bit better. So, I mean, it's hard.
Jim, we actually, because we're obviously in branding from the Philo side, but we talked to a lot of the CBD companies. And I also think, you know, that you mentioned something, a lot of people say they are doing certain things. I think the ones that separate is the ones that have a mission, like you said. You have to have a mission if you're gonna compete in a saturated market. So I do agree with you. It's like you got to align yourself with brands with a mission. And I think when they have a mission, the product's usually better because, like you said earlier, passion, the mission's about passion, usually they're focused on the plant and the product.
Well, you know, I even said this to Mitch. I said, Mitch, you got a lot of money. Danny's got Ghostbuster money. I got According to Jim money. I'm already wealthy. I could sit on my ass for the rest of my life. So, you know, what is really driving us but this engagement to heal oneself and others? So you got to have the right context in this business, I think, in any business, really. And I think the Blues Brothers, like I said, brings it all.
I agree with that. I'm excited for the Blues Brothers brand. And any way I can help you get to Chicago, I will. And we'll push Mitch when we get off the – we get off the podcast.
Yeah. I love Mitch.
He's
in a transition. You know, he's got Curaleaf, which is, you know, it's hard to do things, but he was really sweet with me. I believe in him. So we'll see what happens.
He's one of the best guys, truly. Like, he's a good friend. And I, you know, he's steered me in a lot of great ways in this industry. So,
by the way, I love Ben at GTI too. I mean, he's one of the sharpest guys in the business also. He's a good guy.
You know what, Jim? In Chicago, we're lucky. You got Ben, you got Mitch, you got Cresco, you got Verano.
Yeah, Charlie, you got George and Verano.
Yeah, George and
Sammy. I love George.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I love George because he comes from the restaurant business, which is what I was raised in. So we have the same work ethic, and, you know, I love George. And he has a really great product, by the way. He cares for his material.
Yeah, we actually have Sammy. We love George and Sammy too. We have Sammy here on the taping next week, so it's great. But Chicago's like a, you know, it's crazy. It's blown up in the world, so we're lucky.
Well, you know, second city. It's not going to be the second city of cannabis. Let me tell you, they're going to do it right in Illinois. Pritzker was really smart, and he's going to change things and make things work even better. I like Pritzker.
So Jim, with any business, obviously we all have pressures when it comes to sales or building an empire. What keeps you up at night for your business?
Ground squirrels, rustic mice, and aphids.
That's it. That's a double answer in one show.
It's the same thing.
Well, then
like I see a goddamn grasshopper. I went, Omo, they're coming. They're coming. The grasshoppers are coming.
So, Jim, how the hell then do you go to bed? If you're up all night.
I take a 0.25 or a 2.5 milligrams of a Bang chocolate or a Grand chocolate, and it just chills me. It's the best microdosing, and I could recommend it to my aunts and my uncles. You know, I was at a dinner at my mother-in-law's house. My wife was out of town, and she's 80. Her boyfriend's 84. She had two other couples there that were 79 to 84, and me. And the subject came around to cannabis. And they all – these guys, are watching Fox News 24/7 loudly. All they wanted to know was about these products and how it can help them with their shoulder. One guy was an athlete. One guy can't golf because his hands hurt. And the one wife said, no, but I want to have some fun too. What's the fun stuff? I literally went home and got a bunch of samples that people had gave me, and I came back and handed them all out. And I'm like their pharmacist now. Right, they call exactly. me all the time. But my point is that I don't find naysayers. I only find curiosity people. Everyone is curious. And the education that we lead them with is very important for them to try. And I end that with, try 2.5 milligrams of a chocolate. Start there. Start slow.
Great advice. I think, Jim, what's so amazing too is as, you know, cannabis is becoming more normal and, you know, kind of mainstream, there's more and more people that might have never tried it before that are now curious and trying it for different things.
Well, this is why this television show is so important, because there's nothing else going to be out there like
it. When are we going to see it?
Well, because of what's going on right now, there's a little, let's wait. We're going to, you know, that's a whole other business thing that I can't really talk about, but it's a show that has all the elements in it. That has music in it, definitely. It has mischievousness. There's a lot of comedy in it. And it has the mission from God. And it also is a educational piece. I mean, I do these what I call science pods, these very quick educational pieces about edibles, about vape pens, about the difference between THC, CBD, and terpenes. So, I mean, there's education in it in a comic way. There's processing. I take them right through the processing of growing, what it looks like, when to pull it, you know, when the hairs are turning a little amber, pulling it, curing it, trimming it. We take it to the science lab, we test it, we show them that this stuff is tested and not to worry. So I believe it's going to lead the industry, and it's going to be a showcase for what all of us are really trying to do.
Love it.
There's nobody smoking pot in it, by the way.
Right. It's all about education.
Yeah. They're not getting high. It's not like a party thing. I said, it's still funny. I mean, there's a lot of funny shit that happens.
You're a funny guy.
Well, it's got, it has, I mean, I can't give away the stuff, you know, spoiler stuff, but. You know, we do two episodes in Colombia searching for the Santa Marta Gold, the Punto Rojos, and the Mango Biche. And what happens in Colombia through this process is very funny, first of all, very exotic, but also very moving because I start to discover stuff about myself there through this journey. This journey that cannabis has taken me on.
Well, I think Chad and I would love to go on that journey with you next time you're doing that journey.
Well, I'll tell you what. Second season.
Yes. Well, when we get out of this whole mess, like, I want to come and visit your farm.
Oh, please come.
I'm coming.
It is so lovely here.
I'm coming from one grower to another.
You can come, Jim, and when you get to Chicago, too, we'll have you over at the Philo headquarters. You know who we actually we had, who's a mutual friend of ours, Jolene Rivera with Kitchen Toke. I know you guys you're part of that as well, and you know you're an advocate for her. We had her actually cook.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Oh, she is so awesome. Right, the best time that night. I mean, we cook, we talk. She is as lovely as can be, and I want that magazine to just go through the roof for her, because she really is important.
Yeah, when we started FIBA at our holiday party, she came in with their boyfriend and actually just cooked edibles for the, you know, it's hilarious because I come from, you know, running a corporate company, and then I start this company, and at our old holiday parties, you're just, you know, it's very corporate. At our new holiday party, we're eating edibles. So it's a whole different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. By the way, the dinner we had was a perfect 5 milligram dinner. Right? And we had a lovely conversation. We felt good. It was like a warm hug. That's what I always say. 5 milligrams is like a warm hug. And we just had the nicest time.
Well, listen, guys, this was a lot of fun. Jim, you are doing such great stuff, and love your passion, love your energy.
Jeff, we should do the quick fire questions because it'll be funny with Jim.
Oh, yeah. Let's do the quick fire questions. Jim, we've got a couple questions. You ready for this?
Sure.
So the way it works is literally just the first thing that you could think of.
Favorite cannabis product?
Edible.
Have you ever worn socks with sandals?
Yesterday.
Is double dipping at a party ever acceptable?
When nobody's looking.
What's the fastest speed you've ever driven in a car?
165 miles an hour.
Wow.
Scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at wiffle ball?
1.
What's the most number of hours that you've actually watched television in a single day?
8.
What's something you can eat for a week straight?
Cheeseburgers.
Are tomatoes a fruit or a vegetable?
Vegetable. Actually, that's a trick question, isn't it? I think it is a fruit.
Well, actually, no, I think technically it has seeds, right? So it's technically a fruit, right? I don't know. This is up for debate.
Last one. Describe wind.
Very good, Jim. Very good. Awesome. This was so fun. I love it. So good.
You know what I got here, by the way, when you come, is I got a sweat lodge that I built.
Oh.
This is a very spiritual property. We're between Table Rock and Mount McLaughlin, right on the river.
Cool.
I had these Native Americans come on the property, and they literally found the spot to put it and built it for me. And so it's a really great experience. So when you come, we'll do that.
Awesome. Well, Jim, thanks again. And you're great. We love you.
Thanks, man. And thanks for your support and for having me, man. I look forward to seeing you guys soon.
100%.
Thanks, Jim.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.